Your news program every morning with up-to-the-minute news and extensive analysis of issues from Korea and abroad. This morning with Alex Jensen on TBS EFM.
So then, nearly 7:39, the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. The words there of Stephen Hawking, but how much closer are we to that grisly forecast when we consider Google DeepMind's AlphaGo now 3-1 up with an unassailable lead in a 5-game series with Go or Baduk grandmaster Isedol. Let's welcome to the show Stuart Russell, computer science and Smithzadeh professor in engineering from the University of California, Berkeley. Good morning to you from Seoul.
Good morning from Berkeley. How are you?
Very good to have you with us. What do you make of this Baduk series so far? Are we reading far too much into it?
In some places, yes. I think connecting this to the end of the world is a little bit premature. I have two reactions. One is that it's quite surprising that we reached this point so quickly. If you'd asked me a year ago, was this possible within a year, I would have said it was extremely unlikely because Go programs a year ago were really still struggling at the amateur level. And I think the engineering effort by Google and some of the new algorithmic ideas are really very impressive. On the other hand, it's a little bit disappointing because, as you know, Go is a very difficult game for humans, and the way humans play it involves sort of decomposing the problem. It's a very large board with a lot of locations. You decompose it into different parts, and you sort of figure out what's going on in each part, and then you hook the different parts together and figure out a strategy for where to play and how to play in each part. And that resembles real life in a lot of ways. Our life is way too complicated to think about it all at once, and so we kind of break it down into parts, and we figure out each part, and then we fit the parts together. So that's how humans play Go, but AlphaGo, the program, doesn't play it that way. It plays it more like the way we play chess, which is to think about a single line of play and then to vary that line and see how it likes the different outcomes it could reach. So it's a little bit disappointing that Go seems not to have led to breakthroughs that we can easily transfer to other parts of AI, but it's still a very exciting result.
But the thing is, we can't escape the idea that machines are becoming more powerful, and you were the first signatory of an open letter calling for researchers to really consider the social benefit of AI in terms of the direction of research. I directly quote from that open letter: "We recommend expanded research aimed at ensuring that increasingly capable AI systems are robust and beneficial. Our AI systems must do what we want them to do." Why are you so concerned about the possibility of things going the other way?
So think of it this way. How do you think the gorillas feel about having created the human race a few million years ago? They're probably, you know, if the gorillas are having a meeting right now, they're probably saying, you know, we really shouldn't have done that because now we're kind of in a mess. And gorillas have lost control over their own destiny as a species and so on. So it stands to reason, it's just common sense, that if you make machines that are more intelligent than human beings, you know, there's going to be an issue of how you make sure that you retain complete control over what they do and make sure that you're happy with the result. So what we were arguing in that letter was that this is an unsolved problem. In much the same way that, say, containing a nuclear fusion reaction is an unsolved problem. And when you talk to people who work on nuclear fusion, they try to figure out how to contain the reaction so that it can be useful. And I think that analogy kind of works for AI. If we're going to build more and more intelligent systems, we have to solve this containment problem. We have to solve the problem of controlling the intelligence so that it's guaranteed to be useful to us. I'm not pessimistic about it. I think there are good reasons to think that this is possible. And we were really encouraging AI researchers to realize that it's an important problem because up to now, you know, AI systems haven't been very capable. And so there was really nothing to worry about. But looking ahead, as you saw with Go, progress is really accelerating pretty fast.
I mean, you've said on the plus side in this open letter that the eradication of disease and poverty are not unfathomable. But if we were at that level of artificial intelligence, you've clearly implicated that there would be the possibility of a dystopian future. The thing is, if everyone's developing in different parts of the world almost organically, albeit in the artificial realm, how can we possibly control this so that we stay on top of AI?
So it's not in anyone's interest to build uncontrolled superintelligent machines, just like it's not anyone's interest to build uncontrolled fusion reactors that are going to explode as soon as we turn them on. As the nature of the problem is understood and as techniques for solving it become available, then one expects that people will use those techniques. And if we don't solve the problem, then I think we really do have an issue, because it might be that the AI capabilities accelerate because there's so much investment going into them, but the methods of ensuring control are not yet in place. And then we really do have a difficult both sort of technological and sociological problem. Because, as you say, it's not easy to make sure that everyone is abiding by guidelines on, not releasing AI systems onto the web, for example, where they could, I guess, wreak havoc is one way of putting it.
Mm.
They already have wreaked havoc in the trading markets. So AI systems do a lot of trading of stocks and bonds on the markets. And on a couple of occasions, those software systems have essentially caused a meltdown, and the markets have had to be switched off. And we still don't really understand how to prevent that in a general way. With the markets, you can put in circuit breakers, you can switch everything off,
yes,
and then you can wind all the transactions back. But in general, it's much more difficult. You can't sort of switch the world off and wind everything back. So I encourage everyone working in AI to think very seriously about how to address these questions.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to reap the full benefits of AI, we also have to trust AI in its thinking process. I mean, it might take markets towards a meltdown only with a bigger benefit in mind, or in the area of medicine, in an operation approaching differently, as we've seen in these Padouk games, AlphaGo approaching very differently to human beings. It's strange, though, isn't it, to think about trust in the sense of AI?
So there's a famous phrase, trust but verify, and I think the same is true for AI. We need not just faith, but we actually need mathematical proof that the systems are going to behave the right way.
And right.
That's a difficult thing to have when you're talking about operating in the real world on common sense problems. There are some areas, for example, in medical diagnosis, a system that's extremely good at medical diagnosis or extremely good at drug discovery is not in the general business of taking over the world. So those are what we call tool AIs. They're the scope of what they're trying to do is very restricted, and the scope of actions that they have available to them is also very restricted. So if you were building a drug design system, you wouldn't allow it to consider options like buying up other drug companies or recruiting millions of people as guinea pigs without their knowing it, and things like that. So there are ways of restricting what the system can even consider doing. And as long as you're sure that the solution to your problem lies within the scope of what you're allowing the system to do, then everything should be fine.
Professor Russell, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Pleasure having you on the show. Stuart Russell, Computer Science and Smith Saturday Professor in Engineering at the University of California, Berkeley. Seems to me, though, listening to that, that it's perhaps the area of military AI that could be most dangerous in this dystopian scenario, and especially if that technology were to be in the hands of terrorists or belligerent states who, yes, they might not be in the business of self-destruction, but more of loosely controlled AI, and then cyber hacking and so on. What area would you want to flag up for us this morning? You can text us, #1013 for 51 per message. And as ever, you can email your opinions and questions to EFM this morning at gmail.com.